Are there any questions from the room here or from the phone, on the phone lines?
How would you describe the conditions at the plant before the explosion?
I think the conditions at the plant were very laxed. And the question was, how would I describe the conditions at the plant before the explosion? I would say the conditions at the plant were very lax, and the procedures, not following procedures and doing these things, were not doing what even they had on the books to do. And I would say it was conditions were ripe for an accident to happen.
Ken Billy from the Houston Chronicle.
Okay.
And we currently have a question from Ann Belli.
Yes, this is Ann Belli from the Houston Chronicle. Mr. Miles, I have a question for you with regard to OSHA. You've just said that the plant was ripe for an accident. Do you view OSHA as having any responsibility there? OSHA's job, of course, is to regularly monitor refineries. What light can you shed on any lapses there may have been on OSHA's part in the last few years?
Well, I don't think there was a lapse on OSHA's part the last few years. We obviously cannot be in every workplace in the United States. We had been out at this place and after the September inspection, and when we issued the citations in early March for the accident that involved two people, we put them on an enhanced enforcement list, which would mean that we would pay a lot more attention to them, would have more people visiting the plant and checking on conditions at the plant. Mm-hmm. However, the accident occurred before we had really implemented those procedures.
Okay. Thank you.
And once again, it'd be star one if you have a question for the parties on the phone.
Are any criminal charges result from any of this?
At this time, we're considering our options, and I think it'd be inappropriate for me to talk about criminal charges right now.
Where does the money from this fine go? What is it?
The money from an OSHA penalty goes into the general funds of the government, and OSHA gets no use of the funds. It goes right into the general fund, and so it's for the whole government where the penalty goes.
How long has some of these violations?
Some of the question is, how long have these violations existed? Some of these violations had existed for years. We know in the case of the blowdown unit and the discrepancy we found in the blowdown unit that had been that way since a turnaround in 2003, so we know those things that were there. We know the use of the blowdown drum and the location had been there for a while on that. Some of the other things, the procedures, the siting of the trailers and stuff, obviously the trailers had been in that position since about November.
I have a question from Chip Cummins.
Hi, Mr. Miles. Two quick questions, the first of which, could you repeat again what was the second now largest fine? It was an $11 million fine, I guess, in Louisiana.
Yes, it's IMC Fertilizer. It's a fertilizer plant in Louisiana which blew up in, I think, 1991, and the penalty was $11,270,000.
Right, okay. And then finally, in the course of your investigation, looking broadly beyond the specific counts of violations, was there evidence that there was sort of systemic problems with inspections, maintenance regimes, and have you thought about going into any other BP refineries or, in fact, any other refineries in the industry to look at similar problems?
Well, we think there was some there, and as we've talked before, the culture of the plant, the safety and health culture, may have been a little lacking at this BP plant. Under our enhanced enforcement program, we will look at other BP operations, and we have questioned some of those, and we know some operations are not like this. They do things right in a couple of other operations. And there's a large facility in Whiting, Indiana,
yeah,
which is a state program where state does the enforcement, and I do know the state of Indiana has gone in there and looked at some of these things, and we will be sharing our results with the state of Indiana, but it's they have looked at that particular plant. And as I say, on the enhanced program, we have sent a number of letters to companies, BP companies, chemical companies, as well as refineries, And I would say some of them are doing things exactly the way we would require.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question comes from TJ Olds.
Mr. Miles, question for you. Is it normal practice of OSHA, or is it not unusual to have on the same day that you're announcing your citations and fine that you also have a settlement right off the bat as well? Does that normally in the process go afterwards?
Well, it can do either. We settle some cases even before we issue citations. This one we'd work with the company. We did issue and then settle. And I think that's if the company, and in this case, companies usually ask for OSHA to give in on a lot of things. This one we didn't give in on the penalty. We did not give in on the classification of the citations, and we got an excellent abatement. I think the company and bottom line with us is what we're trying to do is get the improve the conditions in the workplace for the workers that work at these plants. And I think this is if you get copies of the settlements, you see this is an outstanding settlement, and the workers of BP will be the beneficiaries of this.
And if I could just follow up real quickly, then if you said that y'all didn't give in on anything there, did BP make a request, though, that you do so?
Well, I think BP and us, we laid down some ground rules. They came to us and wanted to meet and talk about it, and I think in the final we came to an agreement. So I would not say they may have requested some things, but in the end, it ended up like this.
Next question comes from Ann Belli.
Yes, Mr. Miles, Ann Belli again from the Chronicle. Added point of clarification. I just want to make sure we're completely clear on what happened during the settlement. As you know, there was a lot of widespread concern that OSHA might give in on the classification. I think you addressed that. However, did you give up some violations at all? Or what you're saying is what we're seeing here exactly what OSHA initially found in its investigation? That's the first question. And second, I understand that OSHA is referring this to the Department of Justice. Can you comment on that as well?
Well, let me talk about the first one you got. That we did not change any of our penalties. We did not change any of our citations. This is what we had. So we have not changed anything in this in our negotiations.
Okay.
As far as the criminal, as I said earlier on the question about the criminal violations, that is handled by the Department of Justice, and as currently we're not decided whether we refer that or not.
Thank you, sir.
And at the moment, I'm currently showing no questions.
Any other questions?
Okay. Thank you. I might say that we have I think it's been put up on our website, copies of the citation and copies of the settlement agreement. I believe are up on our website. If not, we have CDs that have this. If you the written, if somebody would like the written part of it, of the citations, it's about a ream wide, a paper ream wide of the violations and stuff. But it's those are available. Did you say there's another question now?
My
first name is John, J-O-H-N, Miles, M-I-L-E-S.
Yes. Bureau of National Affairs.
Okay.
I only have a question from Ann Belli.
Sorry, Mr. Miles, one more thing that I've just thought of. I noticed that in your classification of the violations, you do differentiate between willful and egregious. Egregious, willful, and just simply willful. Could you elaborate on that just a bit?
Well, egregious is a term that OSHA uses when we have one a violation, and then we have a multiplier factor by the number of instances we have, where willful is one that we didn't go to that on it. I think you can see the difference. If you look at we issued 167 for the electrical violations, and for the vehicles, we issued one violation. So what it is on ones that we go to the egregious ones, we think that it's our citation policy. The willful is a statutory definition. The egregious is a term that OSHA uses when we use the multiplier factor to increase the penalties.
Yes, sir. And one additional follow-up question. I noticed in some of the details of the abatement, BP is agreeing to notify OSHA regularly of injuries on the job of employees. Would that include contractors?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Okay. All right. All right. I think that's all I have, sir. Thank you.
This question comes from Benoit Sacon.
Yes, hello. I was just wondering if you, after looking at Texas, you would also turn your eyes on facilities in other parts of other states, like typically Alaska, where problems have also been reported in the press.
If we're looking at other BP facilities?
In Alaska.
In Alaska, which is a state plan, which they do their own enforcement. And I'm not sure what they have done yet. I have not talked to people in Alaska.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Suzanne Pagano.
Mr. Miles, good morning.
Morning.
I have a question on the timeline for safety improvements at the plant. Is there a timeline specified in the settlement agreement?
There are some timelines. Obviously, the citations to the ISOM unit. Well, they until they start it back up, it's considered abated, and I think they have, will they have to tell us 90 days before that is put into place.
Thank you.
As far as they get their contractors in, I believe that would start as soon as they get a result, start doing evaluation by their process safety people. Yeah, the ISOM unit where all the citations apply to is shut down now, and BP has told us that it will not be starting up for a while, and they will notify us 90 days before that. And we understand that 10 units are shut down, and they'll complete their evaluation before they start up again. As they've shut down on their own a number of units to evaluate. These are ones that had pressure relief systems that need to be evaluated, and ones that may have gone to a blowdown drum, and so BP has taken some action on their own.
And once again, it'd be star one for the parties online. Question comes from Justin Blum.
I might have missed this at the beginning, but can you explain exactly what you're considering referring to the Department of Justice?
As I said, that decision hasn't been made yet, and Justice handles these criminal cases for us, and so we would it under the OSHA Act it results in the death of an employee in that. So you know it, but they have DOJ has the sole authority, and so we. You know, we don't know yet what we will refer to justice.
So some of the citations are potentially criminal citations. Some of the citations that you described.
They could be. I mean, we're still looking at that. And statutorily, we have 5 years on the criminal ones, but we'll continue to look at that and see. As I say, no decisions have been made in that so far.
I see. So there are additional potential citations you could issue that might be criminal citations that could still...
No, we don't issue those. Those are the Department of Justice would do those in an indictment if they did that. But that would be up to DOJ.
Well, could you describe the nature of the potentially criminal violations that you're looking into?
No.
Next question comes from Ann Belay.
Mr. Miles, Ann Belay. Again, I'm sorry to be darting in and out here. Dealing with hurricane coverage, too, so I'm trying to get things organized here. Two last questions, hopefully. Just to piggyback on the earlier question about timing, with the abatement agreements with regard to retaining an outside firm to do a process safety management audit, as well as to hire an expert to assist the to assess the communication between employees and management, Are there deadlines on those, Mr. Miles? Are you requiring BP to do so within a certain amount of time, or can they just do so within the next 10 years?
No, and, I think they have to do that within the next 60 days.
Okay. All right. So they're all right.
Okay. In fact, they've already hired some people and have started doing this on their own.
Okay. All right. And then finally, in a more broad sense, sir, I'm wondering what you can say or if you'd be willing to comment. There's been a lot of swirling of talk around this accident and whether or not it was worker error, whether or not this was just a half dozen or so workers who just had a bad day, or whether or not this was the cause of this accident is management. I understand OSHA is not in the business of determining root causes of accidents, but from where you sit, would you be willing to comment on whether or not you view this accident as a matter of worker error or a broader cause involving management and lack of safety, proper safety attitude and culture?
I think it goes to attitude and culture. I think that was evident in the plant, and I think you see some employees who didn't follow procedures and those things, but I think that was allowed to exist in that plant previous to that. And I think top management at BP recognizes some of those things now, and I think that's what they're trying to correct there. But the culture of the plant was the heart of the problem in this.
Thank you, sir.
Next question comes from Benoit Sacon.
Yes, hello again. I was just wondering what is the state of your cooperation, if any, with the UK regulatory authorities on safety?
No, we haven't done anything with the UK right now.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
And currently showing no questions.
Wrap it up?
Yeah. Thank you. For those of you who don't have the news release, I'm assuming it's going to be on the OSHA website. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you all.